All right, we're going to start at the top of Vav Amud Aleph, and we're going to start at the first line of Tanya Kavate, the Rav Ashi. Just remembering from yesterday, the Rav Ashi made a statement. We were discussing how much does the aid really have to see in order to say Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtam. Right, so Rav Ashi, we had some shita that he had to see called Ot Va'ot. Then we had a shita that he only had to see the Shita Achat, the first line. And then Rav Ashi suggested that he didn't even have to see it. He just had to hear the sofer actually writing. I mean, that he didn't have to physically be present to see it, but as long as he heard that the sofer was writing and that he was doing lishma, that was sufficient. So now the Gemara says, Tanya Kavotei de Rav Ashi. That we have a braisa that supports that position of Rav Ashi. And maybe get me medinat hayam. Afilu hu bebayit v'sofer ba'aliyah. Even if he's downstairs in the house and the sofer's upstairs in the aliyah. Who bali have a sofer bebayit, or the opposite, that the sofer is down in the house and he's upstairs. Afilu nichnas v'yotzei kol hayom kulo. Even he's in and out all day, kasher. Then the get is a kosher get. Now the question is, who bebayit v'sofer ba'aliyah haloka chazilei? Mean that if he's in downstairs and the sofer is upstairs, he's not seeing him. So how could it be that he can testify that it's b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam? Or how can he say, right, that it was done lishma? Must be la b'gizon d'shama kan kolmuso v'kan megilto. Right, so again, what we said above, that it must be like what Rav Ashi was suggesting before, that he hears him writing, and that's sufficient. So where it says, Amar Ma'ar, we're going to discuss, now we brought this braisa down, let's look into this braisa. Afilu nichnas v'yotzei kol hayom kulo kosher. Even if he's nichnas and yotzei all day, it's kosher. Man. Who's going in and out? Is it the sofer that's going in and out, or is it the aide that is going in and out? So Gemara says, "Man, ilay mashliach." Right, if you're talking about the shliach who's going to bring the get, hashtahu babayit v'sofer ba'aliyad lo chazile. In the instance where he doesn't see him at all, amart kosher. You said it was good. Nichnav yotze mi boy. You have to tell me about whether he's going in and out. Even though he's going in and out, at least he sees him writing. Ela sofer. It's got to do with the sofer is going in and out. So then the Gemara says, Pshita, Mishum de nechtas v'yotzei nefsalinei? What? Just because he leaves and comes back, why should that have any bearing on the get, or the writing of the get? Lo tzricho de nofak l'shuka, that the sofer heads out to the market, va'ato, and then comes back. Ma'o detem, what would I have thought? Ine shachrina ashkechei? He found somebody else in the shuk who said to him, or basically was ready to hire him to write a get, v'armalei. And he said to him, please write a get for me. And then he comes back, he's writing the get. Then Kamash Malona, we don't worry about that. We don't worry about this instance where the sofer may possibly be hired by someone who has the same name as him, or the same name as his wife, and he's really writing the get for someone else and not for the individual who the shliach is taking the get for. So we don't worry about that. So even when the sofer is nechtas v'yotze, that is okay. Again, the purpose of the braisa was to support the position of Rav Ashi. And the other position is that one does not literally need to see it in order to make that claim that b'fanei nechtav was done lishma. He doesn't have to physically see it. He just has to know that the sofer did it lishma and be aware either through the hearing the sofer write or have knowledge that the sofer is doing it lishma. Now the Gemara says, Itmar, this is something we had discussed earlier about Bavel. What's the status of Bavel? Meaning that the Mishnah seems to differentiate between Bindina Tayam and Eretz Yisrael. But we know by the time, especially of the Gemara and time of the Amoraim, right, that Bavel had become a center of learning. And did Eretz Yisrael really have an upper hand over Bavel for anything? So that's Gemara says, Itmar, Bavel, Rav Amar Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Rav thinks that Bavel has the same status as Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. Ushmo Amar Chutzlarz, but Shmuel says it's like Chutzlarz. Zlema Bahaka Miflagei. So let us suggest that this machlokis between this, the Mara Savar Levishayim Bikim Lishma, that the whole Rav holds that the whole issue here is Lishma. And therefore, both in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, where they have yeshivot and they have Limana Torah, so therefore, Lishma will be taken care of in those instances, and we won't need B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. B'hani Gemire, and we know that they learn in Bavel. U'masar V'shein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. The problem is about Edim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. So obviously we're talking about here a Medina LeMedina B'Bavel. We're talking about different sections of Bavel, moving between different sections of Bavel. Otherwise it's not relevant about Edim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. So it must be within, internally within Bavel, you're moving around. And since in Bavel they're not Shchiach, so too over there, it's a problem. Mar says, Vitisbaro, does that make sense? Harabo it lay the robo. That even Rabbo, who holds the issues lishma, he still holds a robo that's in Eden Mitsuyim. So even Rav, if Rav thinks it's lishma, so why should that takes care, Bavel takes care of the lishma problem, it still doesn't take care of the problem of in Eden Mitsuyim. Ella the Kuliyama being in Lekaimo. No, the issue at hand here is what we need Eidim to be Mekayim to get. Rav Savar Kevin Deika Mitifta Mishkach Shchichei. Rav believes since the yeshivot were centered in Bavel, that it was Shchiach that people came to Bavel, meaning there was traffic between them, and therefore they could be Mekayim to get. Ushmo Savar Mitifta Bigir Sayuchridi. That the yeshivot were basically busy with their learning. Since they were busy with their learning, they didn't. They ain't makirin chatimot. Rashi says they didn't recognize the signatures of other people because they really were in their own world, right? They were holed up in the tower in the base medrash, and so they didn't really recognize the signatures around. Tosfos later on mentions the possibility that they were so busy that they couldn't even sign on Gittin. That they were so busy that they didn't even have time to sign. Forget about even verifying other people's signatures. Mara says, "Eat my nami, Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Asinu Atzmenu B'Bavel Ke Eretz Yisrael the Gittin. We made ourselves in Bavel like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin. Michiat the Rav the Bavel when Rav showed up in Bavel. So what was it? What does it mean that when Rav showed up in Bavel that things changed? So Rashi learns over here Michiat the Bavel is that he was Koveya Yeshiva and Surah, that he established the Yeshiva and Surah, and Shmuel was Koveya Bidnarda or was in Narda." So once Rav established the yeshiva in Surah, that took on a status like Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos rejects that Peshat, and he says, because there were many yeshivot there also, even prior to the time that Rav reaches Bavel. So how could you suggest that just Rav coming to Bavel all of a sudden changed the status? So Rabbeinu Tam explains that what it means when Rav came to Bavel was that he gave a psak halacha that from the time of Yechoniah, when they had the goes to Bavel, that all the Torah moved from Eretz Yisrael, the center of Torah moved from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and therefore Bavel took on the status of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Rav did. Rav gave that psak halacha. Not that he changed the status by establishing the Shiva, but rather he gave such a psak halacha. The Tosfos at the end brings an interesting pshat. He says there are some that mefaresh that when it says Rav here, it doesn't mean Rav, that the Amora. But Rav really means the Rabbonim. When the Rabbonim came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, then the Bavel took on the status or a similar status to that of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, I think it's an interesting thought that it was during maybe a possible transition from Tanoim to Amoraim, and that's what the Gemara is focused on over here. It's interesting. Okay, Meitiv Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Ravirmi has a question. What's the status of Bavel over here? We just said that Bavel has a din, Eretz Yisrael, but let's look at the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? I'm a Rabbi Ava, I'm a Rav Huna. I skipped something. I'm sorry about that. All right. Beiti Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rav Yehuda Omer, mi rekem le mizrach, verekem le mizrach. That rekem to the east is the end of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and everything in Rechem itself is on the east. Ashkelon Darom, Ashkelon Gedarom. Ashkelon in the south, and Ashkelon's quite like the south, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael. Miako Letzafon, Vako Ketzafon. And Akko in the north, and Akko is considered in the north, meaning outside the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Vaha Bavel, where's Bavel located? Letzafon of Eretz Yisrael is north of Eretz Yisrael, right? Kaimo, Dechtiv, because you have it in Yirmiyahu, it says, Vyom Hashem Elai, Mitzafon Tipatach Ara. That when Bavel is coming, going to come and destroy Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Mikdash, the Nevuah that Yirmiyahu gets is that the bad will come from the north, meaning that Bavel, which is in the north. And it's clear that Bavel is further north than Akko. Vitnan, in our Mishnah, says, Rabbi Meir, Omer Akko ke Eretz Yisrael the Gittin. That he argues on the position of Rabbi Yehuda and says that Akko, it does qualify like Eretz Yisrael the Gittin. He only qualifies or says that Akko is considered part of Eretz Yisrael because it's proximate. He would not say that. When Bavel, which is much further away, he would not agree to that. So who motiv la v'hu mafarik la? He asked the question and he answered it. The Bar mi Bavel. Bavel is excluded, meaning that Bavel is in its own category, as opposed to the definition that's been given in the Mishnah for what is Eretz Yisrael. That's for everything aside from Bavel. So Bavel has its own category, and therefore that we can't question from the Mishnah about the boundaries that are set out in the Mishnah. So now Gemara wants to know, well, if it's excluding Bavel, ad heichan hi Bavel, what qualifies to be called Bavel? So Amar Papa kemachloket leyuchsin, kach machloket legitin. Same machlokas we have by Yuchsin, meaning that we believe there's a Gemara in Kiddushin discusses the people, the Gemara there says, Kol Haaretzot Isal Eretz Yisrael. All other nations or other places are problematic in terms of Yichus compared to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Isal the Bavel. And Eretz Yisrael is problematic for the people in Bavel. And then there's a machlokus over there, how far it goes. So that same machlokus as to what qualifies to be Bavel over there will also apply over here by Gitin. Rav Yosef Amar Machloket the Yuchsin. But that machlokas only exists by Yuchsin. Aval the Gittin, when it comes to Gittin, Divrei Akol, everybody agrees that Bavel is Arba Tinyono de Gishra. Right, until, if you look at Rashi, what's Arba Tinyono? Tinyono being the second. Arva Shnia Smucha de Gishra. So I don't know what this Arva is, but it's the second Arva that is close to the bridge that crosses the river in Bavel. So obviously it was obvious to them where this location was. It's not a place that has a clear demarcation, you know, but it was something that they knew. There must have been a central bridge that over the river that they knew where it was. And then Arva Shtinyono, this second Arva, was the demarcating line or the end of what was considered Bavel. Okay. Very good, thank you. So that's a willow swamp. All right. The second willow swamp after the bridge. Gemara continues, Rav Chista Matzrich Maktisvon Lebei Arjir. Chista used to require people to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. From two places, this place is called Aktisfon, the Bay Archir, from between these two locations. Umi Bay Archir, the Aktisfon, no matrich. But if they brought it from Bay Archir to Aktisfon, then he did not require it. Alright, so now where are these places? These places called Aktisfon and Bay Archir. So the Tosfos suggests that Aktisfon was not in Bavel, whereas Archir was in Bavel. So therefore, over here, when we're talking about which way it had to go, he was saying Rav Chista would require from Aktisfon, which was outside of Bavel, to Bear Archir, which was in Bavel. But when may Archir from in Bavel, Laktisfon to out of Bavel, lo matrich. So the lema kasavar, the fish ain't miki in the Shema. The issue is Lishma, v'hane gemirei. And so since Bay Archir is found inside of Bavel, then they don't have to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, because they're coming from Bavel, which is a qualified area that does not require to have required to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. The Tisbaros, the Gemara asks the question always when they try to set up the Machlokes this way, that what? V'hai Rabba, you slayed the Rova. So even if you solve the problem of Lishma, you still have the problem of Aim Edim Mitsuyim. It's Kuleyama B'inan L'Kaimo, that the issue here is about Mikiyum Ha'edim. V'hane, Kevin to Azli L'Shuko L'Hatam. So since they go to the Shuk over there, Hanach yade b'chadima t'yada dahani, that they know the signatures of these. V'hanach hani b'hanach lo yade, but the other city does not know this city's time out. Why not? The b'shukayu tride, because they're involved in the shuk. Now the Gemara. So which way is which over here? That's what if you look in Rashi. So azle the shuka. Who used to go to the shuk? Right, so the people of Bay Archir, the people in Bay Archir from Bavel used to go to the Shuk in Aktisfon. So then when they went to Aktisfon, Omoshlehem Shem Idiot V'chotmim Sham B'shtarot. They used to go there and sign, they used to give over testimony, they used to sign documents and give over shtarot. V'shtarot B'yad V'nei Aktisfon. And the shtarot used to remain with the people of Aktisfon. Ad Zmanchni Gavim, until they were collected. The Fikach. B'nei Aktisvon makirim chatinamat b'nei Archir. People of Aktisvon recognized the signatures of the people of Archir. So therefore, if somebody brought a get from Archir, they didn't need to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, because they recognized the signatures. They didn't have to worry about edim mitzuyim. Hilkach get shenechtam b'Archir v'nishtalach l'Aktisvon, it was signed in Archir and sent over Aktisvon edim mitzuyim l'kaimo. Or because B'nai Archir show up in Aktisvon when they go to the Shuk, we can get them to qualify or validate the get. But B'nai Archir, when they go over to Aktisvon, they don't recognize the signatures of the people of Aktisvon. Even though they go there, every day there's a marketplace day, they go over there. So how come they don't recognize the signatures of the Aktisvon? So that's what the Gemara says, Bishukayo Tridin. They're busy doing their trading, they're buying and the selling. They don't live there. So they come for a specific purpose to buy and sell, and therefore they're not focused on knowing or recognizing the signatures of the people that are involved in the Shuk. They don't pay attention to recognize the signatures in the city. So based on that, explain the difference of why the people of Be'archir do not have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam when they take it out, because they're always found, they're present in Aktisvon, so they can be validated by them being present there, or because the Aktisvon recognized their signatures. On the other hand, if you went from Aktisvon to Be'archir, you would have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, because there was no way to validate it, because the people of Be'archir did not recognize the signatures of the people of Aktisvon, because they were Tridei Bishukayu. They were involved in the Shuk, and therefore they would not recognize the signatures. And this is what Tosfos points out, that obviously these are two places that are far away from Yishomim, meaning that Be'archir is in Bavel, Aktisvon's outside of Bavel. And if it wasn't for the fact that there was a connection between them because of the Shuk, then we would say Einidin Mitzuyim, and therefore you'd have to say B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam for both ways. But the fact that there's a Shuk overcame the problem of Einidin Mitzuyim, but only overcomes it in one direction, not in both directions. So now the Gemara continues. Rabba Bar Avua matzrich mi arso li arso. So Rav Abba Bar Avua would require you to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, even if you went from one row of houses on one side of the road to the row of houses on the other side of the house. I mean, there's a reshus rabim between them. If you cross the street, you'd have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. V'sheishin matzrich mi shchuna l'shchuna. Not even across the Rishus Rabin, but even from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, meaning from one section to another section over there, a shchuna for them was three houses. V'ravo matzrich ba'oto shchuna, even within one single enclosure or area, he still required you to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. Mar says, well, don't we know? We know what Rava's position is. Why does Rava require b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam? V'harava hu d'amar l'fi she'ini edim mitzayim l'kaimo. The issue is edim. So how come in the same neighborhood you're going to require them to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam? Of course the edim are mitzuyim sham. What's the question at all? Gemara says, shayne b'nei b'chuzah d'naide. So this we mentioned before, that b'nei b'chuzah are different because they move around a lot. So first of all, to point out that Mechuza was the ear of Rava. Rava was the Rav of Mechuza. And therefore, the B'nai Mechuza denied that Rava was making a statement about Mechuza, which was his city. So, and the Gemara could have asked the same question on Rav Sheshe, so Rabba Bar Avua, they asked it on Rava, because we have explicitly Rava stating that the problem is Naidi Eidim. But the same is true of the others. Now the Gemara says, Shani B'nai Mechuza denied that they travel. So why does that make a difference that the B'nai Mechuza travel? So Rashi says the problem of what the problem of the Naidi is that the Ein Mishtayim Bebateim, they don't stay in their houses. Shetrudim Bischora, they're always, they're trading. They're wheeler dealers. Ve'imakirim Chatimo Chibenehem, they don't recognize the signatures around them. Mo Chibenehem means what? They don't recognize the signatures. Because they're always traveling, they don't have enough time, or they're not resonant enough in the area to recognize the signatures of the locals or the people that are there, since they're always moving around. That's the way Rashi interprets it. Tosfos, on the other hand, says the problem of Naide is not because of the signatures, but the other way around. Shehochim lahem, Tosfos says, Shehochim lahem makirei hachatimot, kodem shitivada hilalichatam b'nei arsa acheret. That they used to travel a lot, and they used to take off without letting their neighbors know. I mean, the neighbors didn't know, and they would be out of there. So people were not makpid to, I mean, if they didn't know enough to say, oh, let me validate the get before you go. Because since they were traveling all the time and they just left without telling anybody, then people wouldn't know to validate the get before the Eidim left, and then you'd be in trouble once the Eidim left. So, Shaul, I think this might answer some of the question we discussed yesterday, or maybe yesterday, the day before, about B'nai D'chuzah D'naideh. Well, you suggested, well, if people are always leaving, there are also people coming that can recognize the Chatimot. So both here, so Rashi says the problem is that if you're not resonant there enough, if you don't spend enough time there, then you won't recognize the signatures. And Tosfos on the other hand says that the problem is not simply that, you know, there'll be people around, but they're always leaving. And when they leave, those people that know the signatures are gone without telling us, and therefore we can't be Mikayim to get. So it doesn't matter if they're coming in or going out. Either way, we're not going to have enough time. They're not going to spend enough time there to be knowledgeable about the signatures. And number two is they're not going to spend enough time. They're going to leave before we could validate Gittin, and they're going to be out of there. So here, I quoted this Rabbeinu Tam earlier, and the Ron quotes this Rabbeinu Tam on the first daf of Gittin, but the Rabbeinu Tam here on the last Tosfos on the page says something very important. Shani b'nei chuzah d'naideh, mikan posek Rabbeinu Tam, d'hashtav ezmanazeh tzarech lamar b'chol makom b'fanei nechtav u'fanei nechtam. No matter where you go, you have to say it. Afagav the kaimelon the rova. Even though we paskin like rova, the marvish eid eidim mitzuim the kaimo below lishum lishma. Why? Mikomakom tzarech the hashta b'chol mekamot naidei kibenei b'chuzah. We are all transients today, and therefore we all have a status like bnei b'chuzah. If we all have a status like bnei b'chuzah, then we must say b'fanei nechtav v'nechtam. No matter how close or how proximate you are to the place that you deliver, they get. All right. The Gemara continues. Rav Chanan Mishtoi Rav Kahana. Rav Chanan was hanging out with Rav Kahana. Aita Gita, Velo Yadana Yimisur Lenardo, Omi Nardo Lusura. They brought a get over there, and I didn't know if it was coming from Sura to Nardar, from Rav's yeshiva, or Rav's place to Shmuel's yeshiva, Omi Nardo Lusura. Ata the Kame de Rav, they brought in front of Rav, Amalei, do I have to make the declaration of a fanei nechtav v'nechtav? Or lo tzrichna? Or do not? So amalei, lo tzrichat. You don't have to say it. Why? Why? Because we already saw that. Rab believes that Bavel has a din of Eretz Yisrael. So then Ferasura and Nardar, which are in Eretz Yisrael, would qualify. Or I'm sorry, that are in Bavel would qualify to be like Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you do not need to say b'fanei nechtav v'fanei nechtam. So now the Gemara says an interesting question. V'avdit ahanit. So if he does it anyway, even if he doesn't require to do it, if he does it anyway, does that help? My. So Gemara says, my iavit ahanit. What does it mean if he does it help? What do you mean, what does it help? So we've said that before, that if you simply validate the get through the signatories on the get, or the signatures on the get, if the husband later comes and is ma'arer on the get, whether it was done properly or was done lishma, then without the actual Eidim there, we have, the Baal has rights to be Ma'ar on the get. The question if he can invalidate the get, or if he simply is Motilaz on the get, but he's still going to invalidate it. But once you say B'fanei Nechtav, U'fanei Nechtam, we said before, that the Baal is no longer able to be Ma'ar on the get. Right? So if he can't be Ma'ar on the get, now in an instance where you don't have to say it, and you do say it anyway, does that help you that you do no longer, that the Baal can no longer be Ma'arer on the get? That's what the Gemara wants to know. Right? So if that's what he's asking Rav, he says, Rav, okay, fine, I don't need to do it. But if I do do it, does it help? So Gemara says, the Etibal Mar lo mishkiach amei dekei detanya, we have a brisa. Maisa ba adam echot shvi get lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. Person brought a get before Rabbi Shmuel. Malo, tzarech ani lamar bifanei echtav, fanei echtav, o eni tzarech. Do I need to say it or not? Amalo b'ni meheichanato. He says, where are you coming from? Amalo Rebbe mikfar sisai ani. I'm from a place called Kfar Sisai. See in a moment where that is. Amalo tzorech atar lamar b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam. You must make that declaration. Shelo tizakek leidim la'achar. I mean, so tizakek leachim. So we don't need eidim. So we won't require eidim later on. La'achar shiyatza nichnas b'fani Rabbi Eloi. So after this individual left, Rabbi Eloi showed up in front of Rabbi Shmuel. Amar lo, Rabbi, v'alo Kfar Sisai muvlat b'tchum Eretz Yisrael. Isn't Kfar Sisai a city in the middle of Eretz Yisrael? Ukrova l'tzipori yoter mi'ako. It's closer to Tzipori, which belonged to the tchum of Eretz Yisrael, than Akko. And we know about Akko, it's not Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko Keretz Yisrael Gittin, that Akko is like Keretz Yisrael Gittin, it's within the boundaries. That they only argue on Akko that it's outside of Eretz Yisrael because it's far away. Which is really close or proximate to Eretz Yisrael or inside the borders, lo. Silent, my son. Right, that once it's done, meaning that once it's done, we do it, it's good. So what does that mean, once it's do it, it's good? Mean that if you say, right, we'll find a nechtam, even though you don't not required to, then once the get goes out, the heter, meaning that we've already qualified the get or validated the get, then there's no error anymore. So we see from Rabbi Shmuel that that's the case, that if you actually say it, even though you're not required, but Kfaras Yisai was in Eretz Yisrael, there was no requirement, despite that, Rabbi Shmuel says, say it, and that because when it goes out, that will protect the get later on, or protect the woman. So now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Eli, what was Rabbi Eli's question about why he had to say b'fanei echtav, b'fanei echtam? Rabbi Shmuel explicitly stated the reason why you needed edim, why he needed to say b'fanei echtav, b'fanei echtam here, not right because he believed that it was outside of Eretz Yisrael and that they needed to validate the get in terms of either ein edim mitzuyim or because of lishma, but he said explicitly is that so we will not need edim later on. So why did Rabbi Eloy ask the question? The answer clear is that Rabbi Shmuel believes that you say b'fanei echtav b'fanei echtam so that you won't have problems later on. So Mar says lo seyemu kameh, that Rabbi Eloy wasn't there when he finished off. I mean, that he heard the psak of Rabbi Shmuel, or he heard him say to him that you have to say it, but he didn't hear the conclusion of the statement, which was that the reason for why he said it, which is that Shlo Tizakek Le'edim. He was missing that piece of the puzzle. That's why he questioned Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel's response to him, and then he got to the same conclusion, or the same answer, which is that the whole point of saying B'fanei Echtav, B'fanei Echtam, is in order to prevent the Baal being able to be Ma'arer later on, and then requiring us to bring in the Edim. Continuing in the Gemara. Sholokhlei Rav Aviata the Rav Chista. Gitin Aboyim Misham Lekan. Right, Gitin that come from there to here, which means from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ain't Tzarech Lamar B'fanei Echtav, B'fanei Echtam. Right, so that you don't have to say B'fanei Echtav, B'fanei Echtam. Le'ema Kasar Fishem B'kin L'shma. Let us suggest that the reason that he's saying this, Rav Aviata is saying this, is because he believes the issue is L'shma. And therefore, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you won't require it, because Bavel is considered Bikin Lishma. Behind a Gemirei, and in Bavel they learned, or they knew that. They know that principle. Vitisbro, does that make sense? Gemara's famous question, favorite question. Have our Rabbi played the Rava? Rabba also holds the Rava. So even if you overcome the Lishma problem, if you're sending it from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you still have a problem of Ein Edim Mitzuyim. Gemara says, Elakuli Amma Bin and Lekaimo. But because there are a lot of, there's a free flow of traffic, there's a lot of traffic between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, then you consider it Mishkach Shchichi, meaning there was a frequently traveled, but there was frequent travel between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they were considered Mishkach Shchichi. So Amar of Yosef, Man Leimelan de Rabbi Yatar Bar Samchu. Yosef says, who says that we can hold like this, Rav Aviatar? Who says that he's a bar samchu? Vod, and I'll even show you that he's not a bar samchu, that he's not a reliable person, or you know that he is. We can hold by his position. Ha'iu to shalchle the Rav Yehuda. He sent something to Rav Yehuda. Bneo adama olim misham lekan. The people who come, the talmidim who come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, hein kayimin ba'atzmam. They are mekayim on themselves, meaning that they are doing this, which is by Nuayelet Bazona, the Alda Machru Bayayin. This is talking about here in Yoel about what the other nations did to Bnei Israel. It says that they took the child for Zona, Vayalda Machru Bayayin, Vayishtu. So, and when he wrote this pasuk out, because of Lebi Lo Sirtut, he wrote it without marking lines. I mean, he didn't mark the lines to Sirtut, you know, scraping lines into the claf in order to write the pasuk, because it's Torah Shebichtav, and as a requirement of Sirtut, which we'll see. All right, you know what? I'll read this next line, and then I'll come back and explain what the pasuk means. From Yitzchak, Shtayim Kotvim, Shloshein Kotvim. If you write two words from the Torah Shebichtav, then you don't have to do Sirtut. But if you write Shlosh, Ein Kotvim, you can't write it without Sirtut, without marking. But Nitzatano, in the Brayse we learn, Shlosh Kotvim, Arba Ein Kotvim. that we write three words you can write without sirtut, four words you can't write with unless you put sirtut. So over here, it's obviously more than either way. The better if you hold like Rav Yitzchok or like the Braiso, he has more than three words or more than three and more than four words, so it doesn't really matter. And he required sirtut. So he sent this to Rav Yehuda, and he was a Masarte did. So how could he be a Bar Samcha? Now what was the quote? What was Rav Yatar saying to Rav Yehuda when he says that when the Talmidim come up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that they are Mekayim themselves, Vayinu Ayel Bezonav Yodam Machru. So Rashi says, if you look in Rashi, he says, Vayisnu Ayelet, Shayu Mishtayim Be'Eretz Yisrael. They used to go and learn in Eretz Yisrael. Umeinichin Nishoteim Agunot. They used to leave the wife back home in Bavel to go to learn. Ubetelem Iperia Ririvya. And therefore, they were not having children. Shinakel Be'Eneim. I mean, it was light in their eyes. Yiladim v'yiladot, man, that they did not give an erech, like the proper erech, the proper value to children. And since they didn't put the proper value on having children, so that was their failing over here. And that's why he brings the pasuk, v'yinu ayelet bezonav yodam machru b'yayin. Mean that when the enemies, they traded children for these other items, right? That's a devaluation of the children. I mean, it's treating the children to have no value. They have a value of a zona or a machru b'yayin, not like people. So same thing over here, they are not treating this idea of having children with value, and therefore they go up there to Israel and they learn without regard to the fact that they leave their wives agunot back home and they're not having children. That's what Rashi says the problem is. Tosus, on the other hand, learns that that's not the issue here, but the issue is that they used to stay in Eretz Yisrael and they already had children. But in order to feed themselves, that their children had to be mishtabd in mishvil mazonot. They used to have to work and be subjugated in order to make money for their food because their father wasn't around to pay for them or provide for them. And therefore, the children had to go to work in order to get their food. And the Yushalmi has a story like this, as it brings down, of a person who sold his daughter to use the money to go learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So again, it's a focus on the mistreatment of the children, using them as a stepping stone to their learning. The mistreatment of the children as a stepping stone to their children. That's why he quotes the pasuk of, "Vaydu ayel bezonav yodam macharu." All right. Yeah, somewhat. I mean, not literally an aveira, but it seems to be improper behavior, improper conduct or behavior, not becoming of these, that they were putting a higher value on the mitzvah of limud Torah, but at the expense of either another mitzvah or of even a people, which was inappropriate. So now, the Gemara, at this point, Rav Yatar had made a statement to Rav Chisda that Bava is a din like Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef challenges whether we should listen to Rav Yatar. Is he a Bar Samcho? Why should we think that he's not a Bar Samcho? It's because he wrote this letter to Rav Yehuda that says that the Talmidim come up from Bava to Eretz Yisrael or like this pasuk, but he wrote the pasuk without sirtu, without marking the lines before he wrote the pasuk. So Amar Leih Abaye challenges Rav Yosef's position here. Says, Atu kodlo yoda had Rav Yitzchak lav gavar rabuhu. Anybody who doesn't know this memra of Rav Yitzchak is not a great person. Says, Bishlama milso detayi besvoro l'chayit. Or chayit. He goes, it makes sense if you're talking about logical stuff that he would have to think of himself, or he could come to the conclusion by himself, even though if he wasn't taught about it. Ha, gmira heed v'gmara lo shmile. This is a Masorah. Rav Yitzchak's a Masorah, and he hadn't heard the Masorah. There's no way he could come up with the Masorah by himself unless he heard the Masorah. So you can't blame him for not being a Gavar Rabba just because he didn't hear the Masorah of Yitzchak. But if he did, if he didn't know something that was a logical argument, then you could argue he's not a Gavar Rabba because even if he didn't hear it, he should have come to that conclusion himself. So that's why Abaye says you can't prove from this letter to Rav Yehuda that he's not a Gavar Rabba. Now, in terms of who do we paskin like over here, do we paskin like Rav Yitzchak or the Braisa? So the Bahag paskins like Rav Yitzchak, even though a Braisa argues on him. So even though there's a Braisa arguing on Rav Yitzchak, so if a Tanaic work is arguing on Rav Yitzchak, we still hold like Rav Yitzchak because we know that this was not the Ikar, right? That wasn't the focus of this. And Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivah say over here, when do you have to put sirtut on when you're writing psukim? That's only when you're going to be doresh the pasuk. If you're writing the pasuk in order to be doresh the pasuk, then you have to do sirtut. But if you simply write the pasuk as a using the words like the lashon of the psukim to write a letter, like stama divrei shalom, then you don't require sirtut. You know, like the you read the Ramban al Torah, right? The Ramban al Torah really is poetic, and many times he's quoting psukim as you know as the flow of his writing is from the psukim. It's not that he's quoting the pasuk to doresh it, but he just uses the lashon of pasuk to write what he's saying. So in that case, you're not going to require sirtut. Sirtut's only required if you're writing the pasuk specifically to be doresh the pasuk. All right, and then the Tosafot at the end discusses the issue of sirtut by tefillin. We actually saw this together when we learned the Gemara early on. We discussed this, and I think it was in Sota. Discusses about sirtut for tefillin, whether tefillin requires sirtut. The Gemara says that tefillin do not require sirtut. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, even though they don't require sirtut, they still require a line at the top to start, you know, to give you a starting framework. They still require the line at the top or a boundary around them, but they do not require sirtut marking for each line in the tefillin. Okay, now the Gemara continues with Rav Aviatar. Ve'od. So Abaye says, not only is, I don't think your proof is that Rav Aviatar is not a Gavur Rabba, but I have a proof that Rav Aviatar is a Gavur Rabba. Why? Aviatar who? The Aski Mari Al Yadei, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu paskind or went like Rav Aviatar. Dechtiv, it says, by Pilegesh Begiva, but he's not allowed Pilegesh. That is, he Pilegesh took off for the hills. Right? Why did his Pilegesh leaves and takes off for the hills? Why did she leave? What was the problem? Rabbi Aviatar Amar Zvuv Matzalah, that he found a bug or mosquito or a fly, and that's why. Yonatan Amar Nema Matzalah, he found a hair. But Ashkechei Rabbi Aviatar bumped into Eliyahu. Amar Lei Maika Avet Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He said to Eliyahu, "What's Hakadosh Baruch Hu doing right now?" Lei Asik VePilegesh Begiva. He's learning Pilegesh Begiva. O Maika Amar. He's saying, "So what is Hakadosh Baruch Hu saying?" Amar Lei. Aviatar b'ni, kachu omer. Yonatan b'ni, kachu omer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, well, this is what Rav Aviatar says, this is what Rav Yonatan says. So I'm like, chosh v'shalom. So Rav Aviatar says, Eliyahu, can't be. U'miyukas feka kame shmayu? Says, I mean, okay, it's one thing if we're arguing about what happened. But in Shemayim, they know exactly what happened. So what do you mean? What type of, how do they have a machlokas up in Shemayim? So he says to him back, Amalei, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Famous saying. This is a very famous line right there. Both qualified. They both are Torah. So what does it mean that they are both Torah? Zvuv matzah. Lo hikpid. And he wasn't upset about it. Nema matzah. Then he found a hair. Hikpid. And he was upset about it. So now, first of all, that's a different understanding of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim hain. We saw this together in a Rashi in Ksubos, who also explained Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim hein in a similar manner. That when he says over here Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, generally we would say like the way it's used in the context in Erevin, right, is that even though we have differing opinions, that both opinions are still qualified Torah. They're still qualified Limud Torah, and they're still good opinions, even though we don't paskin like them. But we saw in a Rashi in the Ksubos that when he said Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, he suggested, oh, since we paskin like this individual in some instances and this individual in other instances, that's considered Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. If we can find a place where they both fit in, that's called Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. And that's exactly what our Gemara is learning over here. This might be the makor for why Rashi thought of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim in that way. Right? Because over here, what does the Gemara do? The Gemara is saying Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim is not that they have differing opinions and their differing opinions remain different, and yet they're still Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, but rather, both things transpired. Both of them are right, because both things happened. And that's why it's Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim heim. Now the Gemara discusses, what is this Zvuv and Nema? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Zvuv Bekaro. They found this fly in his plate, right, or in the serving dish. V'Nema b'otu makom. And the hair was found b'makom erava. Zvuv miyusuta, right, that the Zvuv is disgusting. The name of Sakanto, and here is a danger. Some say Idiv Idi Bekari found both of them in a plate or in a serving dish. Zvuv Onsa. Right, if a fly or something gets stuck in the food, that could mean onis. It could have flown in afterwards. Name up Shusa. But if there's hair in there, that's somebody's fault. And therefore, he blamed her. Now, let's look at Rashi. What is the issue here of Zvuv in the Kara? And what is this name of Otomakam? I'll read you the Rashi. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a lot to add here. I don't have really to explain it. But he says, name of Otomakam. Rashi says, V'darkan hayala sir et ha-sear. The woman would remove the hair b'makam erva, v'loli sakein bo'ala, in order not to endanger her husband, le'asot krot shofcha, that he will not be made impotent by this or sterile by this hair. U'misham sakanta hu de'ikpid ala. And because of this sakana, he was upset at her. So now, what happens when the pasuk in Shoftim says Vatizna Allah Pilaksho, it says afterwards that she runs back to her father's house. She goes back to live in her father's house. So Tosis over here says, why do they say Vatizna over here is either the hare or the mosquito? So Tosis says, well, the word Tizna can either come from the shirt Mizonot, so it's Lashon of Mazon, or it's a Lashon of Znus, but Makom Znus, meaning like the place, both to Makom Erva. So Tosis says, why don't you just say that she was really Mizana? Why don't we take the little shot that Vitizna, that she was Mizana? Because what happens after she runs away to her father's house? Her husband, or actually her master here, because she was a Pilegesh, later goes to reconcile with her in the house. If she really was Mizana, Tachtav, he wouldn't have gone over to her father's house to bring her back later on. So she runs away because the husband got upset at her. Why did he get upset at her? Because either a hair fell into the dish and he was upset about it, or because she left the hair b'makom erva. So now the Gemara continues and takes more lekach, more limudim from this. Amar Rav Chista. Right, before we do that, just so this point is that Rav Aviatar, Rav Yosef was questioning the qualifications of Rav Aviatar. So Abai says, first of all, from your question about Rav Yehuda, that he wrote a letter without doing sirtut, that's not a good proof. And number two is, Rav Aviatar bumped into Eliyahu, was asking him what Akash Baruch was doing. And he's telling him that Akash Baruch is mourning like Rav Aviatar. So it's pretty clear that Rav Aviatar is a Gavra Rabba, and we can be somech on him. So Amar Rav Chista Leolam, Al Yatil Adam Ema Yitera B'toch Beitel. A person should not induce or hold a tremendous or overbearing fear in his house. Why? Shari Pilegish Begivda Hita La Bala Ema Yitera. That her husband held a certain amount of fear or caused her to be in fear. V'pila kamer v'ot Misrael. What was the outcome? That there were tens of thousands of people of Bnei Yisrael that were killed from both Shevet Binyamin and the other Shvatim that came to fight with Binyamin. So Amiram Rav kol amatil ema yitera b'toch beito sofu bali de shlosha v'erot. Person who does act in that manner and has encourages or induces or such fear in his house. Giloy arayot, shvichut damim, chilu shabbat. He has these three avirot will come from him. Giloy arayot, shvichut damim, chilu shabbat. Why is that? Giloy arayot and shvichut damim are clear from the story of Pilegesh Begiva, right? Vechilu shabbat, so Tosfos quotes the Seder Olam Rabo that says that the Pilegesh Begiva was on Shabbos. The incident took place on Shabbos, and therefore there was chilu ha-Shabbos. Rashi says the Chilul Shabbos has to do with the next line in the Gemara, the next statement we're going to see in the Gemara. Amar Rav Chana Hadamran Rabbonon. This is what we read from Bava Mevili Kiyin every Friday night. Shloshad Varim Tzrich Adam Lamar B'toch Beito Erev Shabbos Emashecha. That at nightfall, person or before nightfall, person should may ask these three questions before Shabbos comes in. Isartim, did you take off maestros? Because you can't the maestros, trumas and maestros from the food that we're going to eat tomorrow, because you can't take them off tomorrow. Iravtim. So Rashi over here says, Eruv Chatzeros. Did you put out an Eruv Chatzeros? Tosus disagrees and says, did you put out the Eruv Tchumen? We're talking about Eruv Tchumen, and he says that Rashi himself, in Bar Memalikin, also says that it's Eruv Tchumen. Because Eruv Tchumen has a smach midoraisa, a smach from the Pasuk. Therefore, it's required to be done prior to Ben Hashmashos, as opposed to an Eruv Chatzeros, which should even be done Ben Hashmashos. And all these questions are prior to nightfall, prior to Ben Hashmashos. So in all these cases, tzarech lememenu benichusa. When you ask these three questions, you have to ask them in a gentle manner. Teheicha dekablu mine. So they will accept it from him and answer him honestly. So Amar Rav Asi ana lo shmili. Right? I didn't hear this member of Rebbe Bar, who had the Rebbe Bar, who knew, but Kiyamte Misfara, and I did it logically from logic. So over here, what's the point is that he has to ask nicely, he should ask these questions nicely, because if not, then the person, if they don't do this properly, so Rashi points out, by Gilei Arayos, what's Gilei Arayos? Person asks his wife if she went to the mikvah during the winter when it was very cold outside, and she'd be too scared to tell him that she didn't go to the mikvah, and then she'll say she went to the mikvah even though she didn't. Not like today where they have heated mikvah. In those days when they went to the mikvah in the winter, they went out in the ice-cold water. Right, Chilul Shabbos. Right, maybe she'll light her candles after nightfall, or she'll cook after nightfall because she's afraid of her husband's response if Shabbos came and she stopped and she wasn't able to do them. And there's, right, the same thing with we said Gilei Arayos and Shvichus Damim, because maybe sometimes she'll run away. His wife will be so scared or so upset by the fear that he's instilling in the family, if he's instilled such fear, that she'll run away at night and she will fall into these cracks or off a bridge and she will be killed. All right, so I think we'll stop here and we'll continue with this sugya tomorrow.